Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
This week, we're going to go back through some of our older episodes, the words of wisdom from the past 100 episodes.
Yeah, so I went and I compiled, I re-listened to all of the pieces of wisdom that, people put out, and I wrote notes about it and tried to put those things together and boil them down into main themes. One thing that really stood out to me was, and maybe you guys, I don't think this would surprise you, but not once. And we had probably, it ultimately been was about actually like 75 or so episodes where we actually got, where we either asked or actually got someone to give us specific words of wisdom to people that are just getting started. But of those, zero said to focus on anything technical. So what do you guys think about that?
Do you think that that was because some level of technical skill is implied, or do you think that they felt that really wasn't just the thing to focus on?
Yeah, so I think that one of the reasons why that is if you also listen to all those pieces, one of the themes is talking about how the industry is changing constantly and how technical requirements are changing. And so I think the point was that it isn't that you're not going to have to learn technical things, but don't focus on learning technical. Learn these other things that might that will be able to stay with you as technologies change. So you will always have to be learning technologies, but that can't be your bread and butter. You have to be able to have something that, as the technologies change, those pieces that you can bring those things forward.
Right. So don't put all your eggs in the .NET Core or the Angular or the React basket, because those technologies will change and fade over time, and there's other things that will not change that you could be focusing on.
Yeah, I think it's a foregone conclusion that there's going to be a new JavaScript framework released to the world by the time we finish this episode.
Right. Some of the things that were the most noted kind of piece of advice or theme was talking about doing what you're passionate about, getting something to get interested about something, do what you're interested in, work your goals towards where you find your interests.
I tend to really, really agree with the finding something that you, maybe not passionate, but something that you really enjoy doing. If you look at any successful person, they probably enjoy what they're doing. I don't know too many successful people who are like, yeah, I hate it every day. you got to enjoy it, or you're not going to be able to put that energy into it. So I 100% agree with that. And I feel like, and I've said this several times at past jobs to past coworkers, some of them have quit because of it. I've said, find something you enjoy doing, because if you enjoy doing it, then it's not really work. If you don't enjoy doing it, then you can make money doing just about anything. So whatever it is that you do enjoy doing, all you got to do is find out a way to make money doing it.
Yeah, I can get on board with that.
So another huge theme, and this was also just absolutely massive, was always be learning. I think most everyone talked about that. I mean, it really goes back to sort of that initial piece where we're talking about it's constantly changing. So you're going to have to be learning all the time. And I think people were speaking more than just being learning technical. They're talking about learning from, never let a moment go by without sort of trying to glean something, some information from that, something from them. Another one that kind of came up was always working hard. Basically, how difficult it is. It's a difficult development is difficult. It's challenging, and the grind that we have to do to, in order to get and be improvement, be improved. There's motivational pieces. Again, that's sort of where that be passionate about, you know, find something and do what you're passionate about is to help you kind of go through those grinding moments where you're saying, okay, I'm going to use that motivation to move me forward. And so basically encouraging people not to stop, not to like let criticism take criticism and, you know, let that learn from that, but don't let that stop you. Don't let that hold you back. We'll talk about sort of all of these things, but I sort of trying to like look at how we can break down all of the pieces of advice. So those were the big themes, but I wanted to sort of look at what are the sort of the categories that all of these pieces of advice fall into. And I sort of broke it down into a fairly cheesy way. You know, we're software developers, and so thinking about this advice sort of like a function, and a function has three parts, right? You have the input parameters, you have the function body, which actually does the work, and then you have sort of the outputs that is the result you're trying to get towards. And so in this particular case, I found one sort of set of category where people are giving advice to say, okay, these are the things that you as a developer, if you're wanting to get good and improve yourself, you should be consuming these things, or you should be sort of getting these influences in your life and sort of using these things as sort of the inputs that will feed into, you know, changing you into the right person that you need to be. And then there were the pieces of advice that were sort of the function body, which sort of said, you know, what is the makeup? So as a developer, what sort of thinking do I need to take on? What actions do I need to do? What's the sort of the hard work, the mentalities, those sorts of the sort of pieces that sort of like the parts that make the sausage, so to speak, for, you know, a developer who's going to excel and be very, very successful. And then the last bit was sort of like the outputs. And these are sort of not necessarily the results that you'll get as a good developer, but the sort of things you need to do, you need to be producing. So as a good developer, these were the sets of advice that were saying, hey, you should be producing these sort of things. And this will help not only drive you to become giving you opportunities to hone your skills and to be better, but it also give you opportunities to actually display that and put that kind of showcase, give back, etc.
So were these things like open source community and side projects and stuff like that? Or what kind of outputs specifically do you remember being mentioned?
Yeah, so we can talk about the outputs. So a lot of them were sort of the main section were kind of around like personal branding, things that were sort of around your personal brand, or things that were like where you're giving back. So like you're saying, if you're this might be making sure that you have a GitHub account and that you're creating projects and you're doing projects that sort of showcase your skills, or it might be like actually joining a open source project. And we had both of those pieces of advice were brought in there. But a lot of people talked about, you know, the need for creating and having that GitHub, both to have a place for you to actually work on projects, but then also for you to be able to showcase that stuff out. Lots of people mentioned, you know, blogging, just blogging anything that you've learned, for example, you know, and as a means of not underestimating your own, the amount that you know, and thinking, oh, well, I have to have become someone, or I'll never, you know, it'll take a while for me to sort of get on someone else's level. No, just go ahead and blog. You know, if you learn something, blogging that helps not only you sort of solidify and sharing that information, mentoring it with someone else, but that process of teaching not only helps you solidify the information that you're learning, the, you know, what you're encountering, but it also helps share with other people and helps other people come across that. And it gives back to other people, but it also showcases your ability.
Yeah, I forget who the quote is attributed to, but it one that I like a lot was to teach is to learn twice. So along those lines, you know, sharing what you've learned goes a long way to solidify that information in your own mind. One of the pieces of advice that stood out to me from one of the past episodes was from Jared Rhodes, when he was talking about, we've all been in our careers for a number of years now, but we still have 15, 20, 25 years left to go in our career, assuming, you know, we don't change paths dramatically or drastically. But with that amount of time left in a technical career, in a certain area, in a certain field, you're going to run into the same people. So go out and meet people and make friends and make acquaintances and network and figure out how you can help someone and figure out if there's someone out there that can help you. So, you know, there's all kinds of opportunities out there.
Yeah, getting involved in the community was sort of the second most frequent piece of advice, actually. And that this was, you know, to drive people to say, okay, like, just get networking with people and do it early. Like, don't you don't know how, like you're saying, how valuable it will be. Someone that you've run into now may pay dividends. If you're just getting started, right, there's a lot of opportunities to find someone who can mentor you, find people that are maybe in the same boat as you. You guys can work together. People talked about pair programming, mob programming, and the amount of sort of value you can get out of those sort of things. Meetups, hackathons being a great place to find out what other people are doing and learn from some of their methods of sort of finding their problem solving strategies. Conferences are a great place to meet people. But then there was also another on the idea of input parameters. There was a lot of people that talked about different learning materials. I hear the Six Figure Dev podcast was actually called out as one of the podcasts to listen to that people were. I hear that was a good one. But no, they were saying just like podcasts in general were excellent resources, books. And one person even said the right ones, so that their biggest failure or miss was early on buying a bunch of technical books and thinking that these technical books are the ones that are going to make them into the super developer, the super engineer. I hear 10x engineers are the way to go these days, but that those books were going to turn them into that. And what they found was it's actually not these big, thick technical books. What it is the small ones. It's the ones that are teaching software principles, patterns, practices, things that are cross technical platform, right? Technical stack. But conferences, blog posts, those are other great learning materials.
I also like watching videos, either YouTube or platforms like Pluralsight and whatnot. Videos have helped me tremendously.
Yeah, actually, so it's interesting that maybe that didn't actually come up directly in this segment talking about advice, but we even had many people on that were either Pluralsight authors themselves and were producing those videos, or, you know, several people now that have been doing the live coding and live streaming with Twitch. So those are definitely some great opportunities that direction.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying the live coding Twitch streams recently, if for no other reason than it helps me figure out how to be more approachable and how to be a better mentor, because I'm watching these ladies and gentlemen and these people on these streams. They're interacting with their audiences. They're getting questions. They're answering them perfectly and beautifully, because they're not making any judgment. There's no pushback on that's too much of a novice question or it's too much of an advanced question. You know, they're taking the intent of the question and they're answering it to the best of their abilities. And, you know, I find that I've struggled with that in the past, and we can all use a little bit more patience when we're dealing with people that are just seeking information.
You're not making me feel better about doing live coding.
You'll do great.
Practice was one of the pieces of advice. I don't know how many people just said, like, just start coding or just do it, just go after it. And then embrace the criticism. In fact, so sort of when we kind of moved to the last section that I had, which was the sort of functional body part, this is probably the biggest meat of all of the advice. But there were several people that were talking about not being afraid of failure, and how, you know, everyone struggles. It's very, very difficult. Everyone has to use Google to look up technical things. Everyone makes mistakes, and sort of to embrace the criticism and learn from that. Don't let it stop you. But then you got to take that criticism and learn from it.
I think that's been one of the biggest things that I've learned over the past few years, say 5 years or so, is that even those programming gods that you know from wherever you know them from, either Twitter or Google, YouTube, whatever, they screw up a bunch too. You just don't see that in their conference talks. So no one's perfect, and in all likelihood, they're not necessarily better than you are. They're just different.
Yeah, and on the subject of conference talks and screw ups, if you ever have the opportunity to see Clayton give a demonstration or a talk on on Docker, it is fantastic. I'm quite serious that I thoroughly enjoy watching a talk that goes sideways and watching you recover. Because I've been in the room with other presentations that go sideways, and it's very easy to get flustered and frustrated and throw your hands up and just, you know, lose all train of thought. But I think you handle it very well. And a number of other speakers I've been to that have had, you know, demos go sideways, recover very well. And I often learn more from those because I've seen the same things before and I've experienced the same things before, and to see how others deal with it and recover from it, I feel like I learn more that way.
I do kind of force myself into those situations because I like doing the live coding talks, but I figure I'm up there to try and accomplish a thing, and I'm not going to let, I mean, the code screws up all the time. You can't trust Visual Studio to do the right thing. So you got to deal with the cards that you've been given. And I've been in conference talks where the talk went sideways and the presenter literally just gave up. And I refuse. I will sit there and just cringe through it until the end. So I'm glad you enjoy that.
It's out of love.
Yeah. So as I mentioned before, one of the most sort of most noted pieces of advice was talking about finding your passion. And I think a lot of people said this. I think one particular individual was talking about sort of like using, a couple of different people. I kind of had different approaches that I appreciated. And that was, not letting what you have to do from day in, day out, not letting that sort of get you away from the passion that you're doing. So find a way to become passionate either by maybe, working on something that's not what you do every day, but is sort of related to software development, or by, if what you're having to do right now isn't what you're most passionate about, use some of those other tools, like we were talking about GitHub, get working on some other projects, use something else to build the skill set that you need to get you into that direction. So if what you're doing today doesn't motivate you, then do the extra hard work to actually sort of get you there. And that's sort of where that ties in sort of some of the keep hustling and don't stop, take small steps and iterate, sort of the that segment of advice. The largest section of advice was in the area on what to focus on when it talking about. So we talk about learning and continuing to learn, always be learning. Some people just said that. Many people talked about learning how to learn, but basically there's a huge focus on learning. But if you're not focused on some learning technical skills or something, what were the subjects that you should be focused on? And how to learn came up a bunch. How to solve problems. That's a huge one.
I remember a fair amount of emphasis from a number of different guests on, you know, focusing on the just-in-time information versus the just-in-case information. I mean, we could all dive into the inner workings of a particular compiler and probably learn a lot, but maybe that's not going to help me on the EF core problem I'm faced with at the moment. You know, maybe figuring out the thing that is most relevant to the problems that I'm facing on a day-to-day basis would probably be more beneficial. Like you mentioned earlier, though, maybe the inner workings of the compiler would be a good break when you're stuck, when you're up against a wall and you just need to walk away. If that's something that truly interests you, then by all means, but don't make it the primary focus if you're learning or you're working towards a goal.
Yeah, I find, like in my own programming career, that I do enjoy playing around with the highly technical stuff, like compilers or writing my own operating system or something silly like that. And it's not because I need to know how to do it. I don't remember any of that stuff. The important takeaway that I get out of it is that I know about that stuff. So when something does come up, I'm gonna be like, oh, you know what? I seem to remember about this one esoteric thing that I learned a long time ago that I've completely forgotten, but now I can go look it up and then I can apply that now when I need it, but I don't have to remember all of that stuff all the time.
Yeah, and we've got soft skills listed here. I remember we had John Sonmez on pretty early on in the number of episodes. And his book, Soft Skills, was a big driving force in my learning and growing and advancing in my career and building a brand and really kind of taking my career to the next level. So I really appreciate the amount of information and the types of information in that particular book.
Yeah, I think like over probably 70% of all a piece of advice had some tie-in to a human skill, to dealing with people, whether that was like getting involved and networking someone, or whether that was sharing what you've learned and teaching that, or whether that was just learning how to communicate. That was a huge, I mean, really, that was probably one of the biggest sort of overall themes, was just that human connection and how development is the real power of development, is a developer who can deal with other people.
And not necessarily, and not just a developer that can deal with other people, but a developer that other people enjoy working with.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, you need to work on that one.
No comment.
Yeah. So then, obviously I think there were development principles, and practices, was a topic that was brought up. But one of the pieces that I think there were maybe it was only brought up maybe like five to ten times amongst the data, so sort of on the smaller end. But I think it was really important, and that was people talking about sort of gaining the user's perspective and working from like the design or UX experience. So making sure that people. That if you could either get some of the skills that learn some of the design fundamentals are something that doesn't change. So if you can sort of get some of that down, it'll help you sort of develop better software. And even though the technology stacks might change, you know, whatnot, the way that those design principles work, the way that that user experience mindset and mentality is approaching the problem from, learning to approach problems from that direction, would be a skill that sort of would help you develop better and better software regardless of the technology. And that's something that just you can always take with you and go. And I think that was a really piece of great nugget of advice that sort of got buried in the middle of everything.
Yeah, and you started to broach the subject of empathy a little bit too, just to put yourself into the user's perspective and really, you know, figure out what it is that a particular person might be feeling, experiencing, either from a user experience or just from an interactive experience and an interaction experience between yourself and someone else.
Is there anything on this list that you guys think that maybe didn't get mentioned that should have?
I think you alluded to it early on, and that, you know, that stood out to you, that particular pieces of wisdom were noticeably absent about learning specific technologies and those things. You know, it does go without saying that. With the always be learning, always be growing, that there are certain technologies that you probably will need to pick up if those are the technologies with which you're working. So, you know, those pieces of advice, I think, maybe don't always age well, because what is relevant today for a specific technology might not be relevant tomorrow or might be superseded by the next greatest thing. So, you know, those are the things that I reach out for, the just-in-time advice. You know, what is the thing that can solve this problem today that I need to research because I'm experiencing this problem and I need to solve this particular use case? And along those lines, one of the best answers that I appreciated when we were interviewing a candidate was, the question was along the lines of, do you have experience in this particular technology? And the candidate said, well, no, not that particular technology, but I know how to program. I know how to develop software. I know technologies that are very similar, so I'm sure I could pick it up rather quickly. The basic foundation is similar enough that it isn't an issue most times in most cases these days, that you can pick up a new technology or a different technology pretty quickly these days, especially if you know the basics, you know, the patterns, the principles, the practices of programming.
Yeah, and those haven't really changed in 60, 70 years, really.
Yeah, this was, it was really cool. I really enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun to go back and listen to what everyone had said. So, and I also realized, I mean, it was just a lot of fun to listen to the different podcasts. I didn't listen to the full episodes, all of the full episodes, but you know, you go back and hear something, and it's amazing, because I was obviously there when we recorded these, and then oftentimes I would help mix them, but then you listen to it again and you're just like, oh man, that is a nugget of wisdom that this person dropped.
I'm with you on your experience though. I have the episodes all queued up. Like when we're recording them and we're in the moment, the things that the guests say or that we say, they don't really hit you. It's just like you're too focused on the podcast. But then you listen to them 2 weeks later or a month later, and you're like, wow, that was really good.
I will say that my reading list has grown exponentially, because I thoroughly enjoy the personal suggestion of our guests of, this is a book that helped me. This is the book that helped me learn X. This is the book that helped me grow in this way. So, you know, I've got a list of books a mile long now that I have to read. Now I just need to find the time to do that.
Yeah, they have cost me a little bit of money.
Did you want to touch briefly on the outputs, or are we good on that?
We kind of covered that at the beginning.
We did sort of touch on like GitHub and blogging and LinkedIn. Did we talk about mentorship?
Yeah, I mean, not a ton, but we can talk about it a little bit. Yeah, so there was really the area of sort of giving back and how important it was and how valuable it is to be the you're taking things in, you're learning information, you're sort of changing your own behavior. You figure out some new tech, even if it is a tech, a new technology piece, right? We obviously have to be learning those sort of things. But to be able to then share that with someone else and sort of make sure that you're sort of teaching someone else and bringing that forward, it not only helps them, but it also helps you. The mentor in that way was sort of the main piece of advice that was sort of given around that.
Yeah, and I would say on the direction of mentorship, I think of all of our guests as at least an indirect mentor for myself. You know, I follow most of, if not all of them on Twitter. If they've got a book, I probably own it. If they've got a video series, I've probably subscribed to it. So, you know, a lot of people have even asked, you know, well, how did you get Uncle Bob or Phil Hack on the podcast? I'm like, we reached out and asked, and they're generous with their time. They're generous with their knowledge, and they want to share it with people. So, you know, that would be a suggestion for me and a tip and trick on advancing and growing and learning, and just reach out. If there's a question, if there's someone that you enjoy their work, let them know, reach out to them and share that with them. Ask them, you know, for an additional nugget or just a connection through social media. So we want to hear from you. Just tell us what you think. What were your favorite words of wisdom from past episodes? Are there any particular pieces of advice that sticks out to you?
If you like this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at sixfiguredev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach their potential. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.